Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 19th, 2011, episode 122, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. Hey, beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
Oh, my gosh. One day till badminton, 9 days till Rolex. Can the spring get any more exciting? One day till badminton, people.
Watch
One
live.
Day till badminton.
Watch live.
Oops.
Watch live as the world's best eventers go head-to-head at the Rolex Kentucky CCI 4-Star. Only on USEFnetwork.com and NBC Sports. Tune in to USEF Network for wall-to-wall live coverage of dressage and cross-country, April 28th, 29th, and 30th. Then switch to NBC Sports Sunday, May 1st to watch the Rolex Equestrian Championships presented by Land Rover, featuring live coverage of the final show jumping rounds. 4 days of live equestrian action only on NBC Sports and USEFnetwork.com.
Sorry, my trigger finger was a little itchy.
You just couldn't wait to play it. That's the commercial for Rolex. Now, Glenn, we have a very special offer. Very special offer only for our listeners of the Horse Radio Network. Only if you're a listener of the Horse Radio Network and you subscribe to Groupon in Cincinnati. That is the only people that are going to get this deal, okay? Groupon is offering half off of Saturday cross country day tickets. But you got to know where to find it. So can you post a link on Facebook and let
All
people
right,
go buy their
now.
Tickets half price?
Got it.
It's a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal, because it used to be, I remember when cross country day was like $8, you know, just to pay to get in, and now it's gone up to $20 for the past couple of years, and now it's $30. So, again, $30 well spent, but it's even better spent if you only pay $15 if you get there.
Sure.
So, if you haven't got your tickets yet, go ahead and buy them off Groupon, save half price.
I just posted it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, so you can find it there.
Perfect. I love it. That's even more exciting because that extra $15, I mean, it's almost like you would have spent it already, so you might as well go, you know, to the Bit of Britain tent or something and spend some money there. Wherever you want to go in the trade fair, there's so much shopping. I'm so excited.
Well, I think it's fun. It's going to be here, you know, another week from now. And what's today? Tuesday? I'll be over setting up, getting us set up over there to do our morning recordings and hopefully figuring out the technology, which still has a little ways to go yet. Hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, we'll be live those 4 days.
Let's pray. Hey, we actually have an awesome show today, and I want to find out what's going on. Jennifer, do tell.
On today's show, we are joined by Martin. Help me with this, Jamie.
Mule Sater.
Thank you. Winner of the Cactus Classic Open Maturity Division. We talked about the Cactus Classic a few weeks back before the show went off over there in Scottsdale.
Jennifer had a 3-martini breakfast, I think.
I did. Smell that flaxseed. And what the heck is the maturity division? Well, stay tuned and find out, because it's something new in the reigning biz. Yet another opportunity to win money. And following all that reigning talk, we'll be calling across the pond to catch up with the goings-on at Horse and Country TV. Yay, team. And to round out the show, Glenn and Jamie will entertain you with their usual dog and pony show. Literally.
Yeah. You never know when my dogs will attack or the ponies will get loose. Had a loose horse yesterday, so that was exciting. The dogs pushed open the gate because I had just kind of opened it and barely closed it. And my thoroughbred decided that he was going to the good thing is they don't run away. The bad thing is they run directly over to where the alfalfa is stored. So, of course, a horse doesn't gently steal hay. No, they grab the whole middle of the bale, getting at least one piece of twine in their teeth. They lift up, they shake, they destroy a whole entire bale of hay, which I now have to rake up and try to feed because you don't want to waste it. So that was my thoroughbred yesterday. Thanks for that, Jet. Good job.
Jet, the one causing all of the commotion in the household. Speaking of which...
Oh, Lord. Okay, my daily winning. I actually have two, Glenn, so you have to be ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Because my daily winning of support and love goes out to Rebecca Klopping. Yesterday we had a little bit of drama on the show about what my husband and I finally am taking this rescue horse to his first horse trial ever. I'm super excited. I'm nervous. I'm working very, very hard. And my husband is going on a fishing trip in Canada with his friends during that horse trial. So he's going to miss my very first horse trial with this horse. That's one thing. So you guys all pitched in yesterday and gave me some unsolicited advice. Thank you very much. So, Rebecca, you get the daily happy Winnie. She wrote, "Hey, Jamie, I will come support you, and I will bring my hubby, too. Plus, I can take pictures of you when you're riding Jet." So Rebecca, living here in Arizona, thank God she's going to come, and she's going to support me. Now I have another daily Winnie right now. The second daily Winnie of the day goes out to Dale, Robert, Sarah, Karen, and Rick. You guys can all suck it because you were all supporting my husband. Oh, no big deal.
Good way to go, guys.
Told you. He's not traveling on your honeymoon, your anniversary, or, oh, it's not his fault. He booked this trip before you were doing the horse trial. I don't care. You guys can all just go and hang out with my husband when they go fishing and, you know, go with him. I don't care. I'm doing my horse trial. I don't need y'all to call up helping out my husband, okay? He gets enough help. He's doing whatever he wants. Blech. There you go. That's your daily Winnie, Dale, Robert, Sarah, Karen, and Rick.
Okay, well, here's my daily Winnie. My daily Winnie goes out to Dale, Robert, Sarah, Karen, and Rick. I love you guys. That's great. You done good. You did exactly what I told you to do. Hey, I got another one. When I was announcing at the horse show on Sunday, you know how horse names are. Some of them you're reading, you can't say them, and you can't say it's just horrible when you're the announcer. Well, there was one very funny one that I couldn't wait for her to come back in every class just so I could say, Fatty McButterpants, over and over and over again. Fatty
now
McButterpants.
Now entering the ring. Fatty McButterpants. Do not. Glenn, you've already called me Noompa Loompa. If you call me Fatty McButterpants one more time, we're going to have a problem. I don't think it's fair for you to talk about your wife that way.
This horse wasn't even fat. It was, I don't know how it got its name, but Fatty McButterpants. When I read it on the sheet, I went, are you sure this is right? And apparently it was. What a great name. That's a great name. You know, if you had names that you found along the way, horse names that you found extremely funny, post them on our Facebook page this morning. We would love to hear from you with your horse names that are very funny. Post them on Facebook. We'd love to hear that. Hey, Jamie, we have a caller this morning. One of our listeners is on the line, and it is Katie Livinggood. Katie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Now,
what's
you're
up,
a regular.
Baby?
Yeah, you're a regular listener. We're glad you called. And you had some fun over the weekend, didn't you?
I did. I figured that Equine Affair got all the coverage, and nobody mentioned Midwest Horse Fair. And now that it's been and gone, I kind of think that it's probably just as well, because it was cold and windy, and it snowed. So it was not the best one ever, but it's a good time every year. So we still enjoyed ourselves. We just did a little bit more shopping than we did clinic watching.
Are the clinics outside there? Is that the problem?
They have a number of different arenas. The main Coliseum is kind of a regular Coliseum, and that is heated. So that's in out of the weather, and it's heated, and we were happy that our demos were in there, so we stayed in there. And then they have another arena that's another kind of multi-purpose indoor arena that's enclosed, but it's not heated. So it's kind of in the middle. And then they have a couple that are only covered, and then they're either tents or have ends open. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tommy Turvey, but excellent showman and trick horse guy. He actually had to apologize for his horses working in one of the tents. They weren't cooperating, and he says he never does that. But the tents were flapping in our 20-mile-an-hour winds, and they just couldn't focus on their work. So the weather did kind of put a damper on the weekend, but still a good time. And I haven't heard yet what the numbers were. Last year, I think there were 56,000 people there. It was record-breaking attendance last year.
I have to ask you, because I am nowhere near the Midwest, where is the Midwest Horse Fair?
It's in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Alliance Energy Center.
It snows there in August.
Yeah, sorry.
No. We're not well, we do get random spring storms in April, but it's, like, still snowing, and usually it's just, you know, we get snow for an hour, and we complain, and it goes away, but this has not been my favorite April.
Katie, I got to ask you, what is Santa Claus really like in real life?
I actually live in Minnesota, so it's even worse here. But
does he really have all the reindeer? And is, you know, I mean, do they really hang out all the time? Or good Lord, that's north. That's way far away. No, I'm just giving you a hard time, because that is like Arctic country for those of us in Phoenix, Arizona, for sure.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead.
You think? I was just going to say, what was your favorite part besides the weather? What was your favorite part of the Midwest Horse Fair?
Well, especially since I've moved to Minnesota, one of my favorite things is just getting to see people that I don't get to see very often anymore. So seeing friends at the fair, and it was fun this year. I had a horse there in the Tennessee Walking Horse breed demo, and she just loves people. Most of the horses by the end of the weekend are hiding in the corner of their stall ready to be done. So it was fun to watch her visit with all the visitors to the fair. And one of the – I didn't get to see very much because I was running around doing too many other things. But Saturday night for the second year, they had a Grand Prix jumping competition, which we had tickets to. And that was fun to watch. We also, kind of an opener to that was Templeton Thompson that I discovered through your show. Yeah.
Wow, that's horrific. Was she good?
She was. She was very good. I think some of the audience was getting a little anxious because the jumping didn't start until an hour after it was, you know, after the event started. And I think they thought, okay, let's get on with it. So I was kind of disappointed in the crowd, but I was happy to see her, so I enjoyed it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, that's terrific. Well, you know, we really appreciate you calling. I know you've been a listener, like, since day one, I think.
Well, maybe, like, day four.
Well, we do appreciate it. You know, I'm always amazed, Jamie, at how many listeners we have that have walking horses.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a walking horse person. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe how many we have that. Now, do you have like a real job too?
Yes, I do. I'm actually sitting here in the parking lot, but it doesn't look like any lights are on, so I can still perhaps be the first one in the morning.
Aren't you dedicated? All right, Katie. Well, we do appreciate you calling and giving us the report on the freezing cold, snowy Midwest Horse Fair. I'm kind of glad we went to Equine Affair. It was nicer weather than that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I heard it was still kind of cold there, though, too.
Yeah, but most of it's indoors, so it's okay. It's okay.
Right.
I think you ought to proposition that the Midwest Horse Fair move to August when the weather actually warms up a little.
Yeah, but then it's too hot.
Oh, you're such a baby.
Thank you,
Katie.
We appreciate it.
It was 97 here yesterday, Glenn. 90
was it really?
Freaking 7.
But when it's 97, is it 100% humidity on top of it?
Listen, 97 is 97. It doesn't matter. It's like, oh, it's a dry heat. No, it's not. It's heat. And there's no shade. Oh, I'm not going to complain yet.
I got to say, Katie, do you say you lived in Minnesota? Is that what you said?
I do.
Yeah,
yep.
Minnesota. I was there once, and we went out on a boat in one of the lakes there, and it was so nice and so pleasant. And then as soon as the sun went down over the trees, I mean the instant the sun went down over the trees, we were being eaten alive. You guys have the freaking biggest mosquitoes I've ever seen in my life. Oh, my
God.
Well,
the good news, bad news is where I am, I don't think we have as many as I did at home in Wisconsin. I live in the only county, I think, that doesn't have a lake, so it could be something to do with that. But I did see my first mosquito yesterday, so apparently we have snow and mosquitoes now.
Fun.
They're getting harder.
Sold!
Time to move, Katie. Time to move.
All right.
All right, Katie.
Bye,
thanks
Katie.
A lot. Appreciate it.
Yep.
She really knows how to sell a place, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, see, it was snowing and it was getting bitten by mosquitoes at the same time. Man.
Yeah, it makes me want to go. I'm telling you, they have the freaking biggest mosquitoes. They say it's a state bird in Minnesota. Mosquito.
Really?
Yeah, boy, oh, boy. It's weird. The further north you go, like Canada and Alaska apparently have horrendous mosquito problems. It's like the further north you go, the worse the mosquitoes get. When we lived in Massachusetts, we had the greenhead flies, and they are awful. They come out 3 weeks of the year, from July 4th through the end of July. It's like clockwork. They just come out, and they are awful flies. They are the worst flies ever, greenheads. Just terrible. You, like,
ew.
Can't do anything outside during that period of time. It's bad. Hey, this week I have one housekeeping thing for you. This week on the Dressage Radio Show, Chris has a very, very special guest. And I have a little promo here for that show. She's recording it today. And I have a little promo, but you're going to have to listen closely. If you remember correctly, Courtney King Dye took the dressage rider, took a spill without a helmet on a while back, about a year ago now, and she was in rough shape for a long time and was in a coma for a while and is still going through therapy and rehab. And she did a short interview on a radio show down in Florida not too long ago, but she's actually spending better part of an hour with Chris, and she really wants to do a longer interview and talk about what it's been like, because the Dressage Radio Show listeners and fans have been a big supporter of hers and donated money toward her cause and things. So here's a little promo for that, and you have to listen closely. If you're doing something else, just drop it for a second and take a listen.
All right. Well, I want to remind you of a very special guest next week on the show.
This is Courtney Dye, and I'm looking forward to being on the Dressage Radio Show. I know you have all been following me all along, so I wanted to tell you everything that's going on with me because you've been so supportive.
So that was Courtney King Dye doing a little promo for her show this week on the Dressage Radio Show. So you're going to want to listen into that and hear how she's doing and what she's been up to. So that's I just wanted to bring that up and have everybody take a listen
intense.
To that.
I mean, if you followed her at all, you know that she's the one, because of her fall, that has instituted a heck of a lot of helmet changes in the dressage world. I mean, you would never go to a dressage barn, hardly ever, I shouldn't say never, and see a dressage rider wearing a helmet. They just didn't do it. Now, you cannot go to a dressage barn without seeing everybody in helmets. And I really think that Courtney King Dye was the catalyst for that. So that's going to be an important interview to listen to. So I hope everybody tunes into it.
I do too. I think it's important that we listen to it. You know, more than just listening to it, I think it's important that we listen to it. And hopefully, you know, if one person wears a helmet and falls off and saves their head as a result of it, then it is worth it. On a lighter note, I have here the 7 stages of aging on horseback. This was provided by Aaron Watkins. Have you seen this one yet, Jamie?
I have not seen it, and I haven't read it since you sent it to me because I wanted to be surprised. But I can almost guess, and I'd like to say that as far as the 7 stages of aging, I am probably in number 5. That's about where I am right now. I have not made it all the way to the 7th yet, but I'm sure that pain and fear of falling comes somewhere in the middle. So I'm probably right about there.
I'll tell you what, I think that puts me at about 6 going on 7, actually. So stage 1 is fall off pony, bounce, laugh, climb back on, and repeat. You know, I know from Jennifer telling me about her childhood, she did a lot of bareback riding and a lot of falling off those ponies. So she did accomplish that one pretty well. Stage 2, fall off horse, run after horse, cussing. Climb back on by shimmying up horse's neck, ride until sundown. So,
okay, time out. It's so funny that you're reading this because as you're reading it, I'm actually envisioning the horse that I tortured at that point in my life. The stage 1 was Snowflake, my little POA. Stage 2, I'm remembering my 16-hand thoroughbred, Marche, who was an angel, and shimmying up his neck. A poor guy probably needed a chiropractor so bad because I was just made him crooked by swinging up on him. I'm going to swing mount on him and then, you know, doing the whole, I'm going to jump off something and land on his back and gallop away. I tried that. Each one you do, I'm thinking of the next horse in line. Okay, stage number 3.
Fall off horse. Use sleeve of shirt to staunch bleeding. Have friend help you get back on horse. Take 2 Advil and apply ice packs when you get home. Ride the next day.
I don't know what stage 4 is, but stage 3 I might be at.
Jennifer, you're relating to these two, aren't you?
I distinctly remember stage 3, yep. That was the 16 to 19 age set, yep.
And it's sort of when you're indestructible, you really can't get hurt. You just don't believe it's ever going to happen to you, and you're getting a little crazy. So that's stage 3. Stage 4, fall off horse. Refuse advice to call ambulance. Drive self to urgent care clinic. I came into Jennifer's life. I'll finish it in a minute. I came into Jennifer's life at this stage. Entertain nursing staff with tales of previous daredevil stunts on horseback. Back to riding before cast comes off. This is the stage where I showed up in Jennifer's life, with stage 4. I can't tell you how many casts that I saw on Jennifer over that period of time. And yes, she was riding before the cast came off, and way before the doctor ever recommended.
Of course.
I think she learned a neck rein because she had a cast in her arm and didn't want to use that one, and that's when she learned a neck rein in the horse
stage. Actually, that's kind of true.
I told you guys about the one day I went to work and I came home and she had a cast in her arm, right? I told you about that. My little pony knocked her over. Well, yeah, I went to work and I worked at a bank at that point. And I came home and sure enough, she's out doing the barn with a cast on her arm. And I said, "What happened?" You know, I was kind of like, "You didn't call me?" And apparently my little pony got spooked by a dog, knocked her over and broke her arm. She put her arm out when she fell. She finished doing the barn that morning, drove herself to the hospital, got the cast on, drove home, and was doing the barn that evening. And never called
me. Oh, Lord.
She doesn't need you. What are you going to do? You can't set her arm.
I guess not.
Big...
All right.
That's awesome.
Number five. Stage five. Fall off horse. Temporarily forget name of horse and name of husband. Flirt shamelessly with paramedics when they arrive. Spend week in hospital with titanium pins and screws in place. Start riding again before doctor gives official okay. You notice a trend with the last sentence of each one of these?
Of course.
So do you have any plates or pins yet?
I refuse to answer that question so I don't jinx myself.
Okay. Sorry. I don't think, Jennifer, you know, all the broken bones that you've had, I don't think you have any plates or pins, though, do you?
One pin.
One pin? Okay.
One pin.
Was that in one of the legs or arms?
That's my navicular pin.
Okay. One of the days, so we had just moved to Massachusetts. She was the manager of the Biopia Hunt Club. And I get a call like 2 days after I moved there. She went up about a month before me. It was like 2 days after I moved there. I get a call from somebody I don't know saying, your wife's in the hospital. You might want to come to the hospital. We think she broke her arm. She fell off my horse in a hunt.
No, not you as in Glenn, as in the caller's horse. Yes.
Yeah, the caller's horse. And so I didn't even know where the hospital was. I had to figure out where the hospital was, which took me about a half an hour. I finally get to the hospital, and sure enough, she's sitting there in the waiting room and has to go in and get her arm set because she fell off and broke her arm. But apparently she stayed on a bucking frenzy for about 8 seconds. She made the full 8 seconds. She probably would have won that rodeo.
Did you get paid?
Yeah, I didn't win a lot.
If I remember right, you were back at work the next morning. I don't think you skipped a day. I think you were back the next day. Stage six. This is a stage I think we're at about now. Fall off horse. Fail to see any humor when hunky paramedic says, you again? Gain firsthand knowledge of advances in medical technology thanks to a stint in the ICU. Convince self that permanent limp is not that noticeable. Promise husband you'll give up riding. 1 week later, purchase older, slower, shorter horse.
I'm there. I'm there.
You did that. You did that. You actually did. Beaker's our older, slower, shorter horse.
That's right.
Well, this is what's coming next, Jennifer. And we're not too far away. My birthday's on Sunday, so we're not too far away from this. Stage seven, slip off horse. Relieved when artificial joints and implanted medical devices seem unaffected. Tell husband that scrapes and bruises are due to gardening accident. Pretend you don't see husband roll his eyes and mutter as he walks away. Give apple to horse. There you go.
Oh, look what we have to look forward to. I need to grow up, actually, a little bit, because I find that I am way behind. in the stage, I should be somewhere around stage five or flirting with paramedics, you know, but I find myself still using the sleeve of my shirt to stop the bleeding. So,
you know, I think
yeah.
You could be at stage three and still flirt with the paramedics. I think that's allowed.
Oh, okay. Good. As long as you can combine.
I think horse girls have to do that. I think it's part, you know, it's funny here in Lexington, not funny, but here in Lexington, they take it pretty seriously when somebody comes in because we have so many accidents with horses here. You know, they take it pretty seriously when it's an accident with a horse, you know, they get ready for when you show up because you never know what you're going to have. But that's the seven stages of aging. I'll post that on Facebook later in the day, too, in case you want it. That's my contribution for today. I'm done now.
Okay, that sounds great. I think I'll do the commercial before we before we get our first guest on. And then I want to tell you guys, thank Pfizer for being the sponsor for today's show. And, of course, you can help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and the other Innovator family vaccines or learn more at PfizerAH.com. Has Beaker had his spring shots yet?
Yes, I think the bet was out, and his spring shots are accomplished.
So basically, you haven't gotten the bill yet. You may never see it.
I don't think I did, actually. I don't think I did see that bill. But, yeah,
his
vaccines are done, and I think he got these. I think it's something we have to worry about here in Kentucky.
Yeah, do you guys do? I know that it's regionally a little bit different for different vaccines. So I'm curious to know, like, out here in Arizona, we have the pretty much just your basic flu rhino, Eastern, Western, and tetanus, West Nile, and then rabies is optional. And I definitely opt to give the rabies shot because you give them one shot for $20 or whatever, and it protects them against death. And there are coyotes out here, but the thing you actually really worry about is bats. Bats are the trouble with rabies out here. So I don't know. I can't remember. I think you guys give what, if you're botulism shots too?
I don't know. I'd have to ask Jennifer that, but I know that rabies here is just like a mandatory thing because we have so many raccoons and groundhogs and
botulism,
a raccoon is the biggest carrier.
You're right, Jamie. Botulism is a common vaccine here, yeah.
Yeah, and that's because of the roll bales. It's like a bacteria or something in the hay, which is kind of, I didn't know about when they moved there.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean botulism? What is that? It sounds some science project. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to tell everybody, too, that remember the movie Buck that won the awards at the Sundance Film Festival about Buck Brannaman, the horse whisperer? And
Hold on. I have something for you right here.
I was done talking about botulism.
We're talking about vaccines. We're talking about vaccines, Glenn, and you just were talking
done.
About a movie.
My ADD kicked in. I was on to the next topic.
Maybe work on a little better transition than, hey, there's a movie. Okay, go ahead. I would like to hear all about Buck. Please tell me. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to listen. Go.
I just wanted to say that the movie's doing very well at other film festivals and has won an award at the next one it went to at the Full Frame Documentary Film Festival, and it's doing very well. So I think what will happen here is if it does very well at these film festivals, it might be brought out actually into theaters before it goes to video, and he might make some more money off of it. So just wanted to bring that up. It's a good thing.
Really? You done?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. I've got some stories for you, too, actually. If I can just totally whiplash change. The Kentucky Derby, obviously, coming up very soon. I would like to... Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. All the horses are arriving at Churchill Downs, all the Derby hopefuls, and the names have definitely changed because we had a lot of horses that kind of came up with injuries or came up with problems or decided not to go. But currently at Churchill Downs, in the barns, Uncle Mo arrived and Mucho Macho Man both arrived yesterday at Churchill Downs. So it is an exciting time. Getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. Can you imagine how many people are standing out there waiting for the horses to gallop? Wouldn't that be cool to go over there and just watch?
I know. That would be cool. That would be fun.
Oh, boy.
Are you coming in? Are you going to do that when you're in?
I'm definitely going to, you know, because I've been to Rolex so many times, we definitely have a schedule that we do, we being my girlfriends and I, so I'll see you during the broadcast, but I have plans, Glenn, when I'm there. First, you get in on Thursday, and you go, and you basically take Thursday to do a little bit of catching up, a little bit of driving around. You got to see some dressage if you're lucky enough to get there on Thursday. Friday morning, we usually volunteer to get free cross-country tickets. So you save your money by volunteering. So Friday morning is a volunteer day. And then Friday afternoon, after volunteering and watching some dressage, you then go to Keeneland Racecourse. Keeneland, because it is the
It's closing day, and it's also a day that we just meet a whole bunch of friends out there and gamble, and I lose lots of money. Lots of money at Keeneland. Also, then on
so
Saturday,
apparently your
cross-
horse betting is not as good as your blackjack.
Oh Lord, no, no. If they had numbers on them, I could probably do it. You know, if they had cards, I cannot pick a winner to save my life because I can't read the program. Because who can? Unless you're like, you know, a track rat and you grew up there, then you can't read the program. But I always pick the pretty one. I can't help it. It's like I see them walk out. I'm like, oh God, he's gorgeous. I'm betting on two, and then I lose. But the other horses, by the way, to arrive at Churchill, I guess, today, Arch, which is potentially one of my favorite names for the Derby. Arch, is arriving this morning. The Factor and Nero, Dance City and Sway Away. These are all Derby potential horses that are arriving at Churchill Downs. So it's going to be getting a little bit busy over there. And maybe I will have to go over there one morning. Why not? They have the most amazing Kentucky Derby Museum, by the way.
Are you staying till Monday or Tuesday, or are you heading back right away on Sunday?
I leave Monday.
Oh, yeah?
I'm taking a day.
I didn't know how long the husband would put up doing the barn. I didn't know how long that was going to be.
He really has no choice in the matter, because this is a work, this is a business trip, okay?
Plus,
this is a business trip. It's not a
fishing
trip with my guys.
I just wanted to say that our guest for today that we had promised, Martin Muehlstater, apparently had something come up with one of the horses this morning, so we're not going to be able to get him on today. We'll try and reschedule him at another point. We're actually trying to get another special guest on. Speaking of racing, we're trying to get another special guest on, and I have a very funny story to tell you if we can get him on, Jamie. People are posting funny horse names, so keep those coming. We appreciate it. A couple, there was one I remember, too, that at a horse show we were at, its name was Eats Money Makes Manure. Eats Money Makes Manure.
No way. Are you serious?
Yes, it was. It really was. So, but there's another funny horse name that I would like to tell you about. When we were at the Equine Affair, we had the pleasure of having dinner with Frankie and Sandy Lovato. And, you know, Frankie has ridden in like a 20 million races as a jockey. I think it's 19,000, actually, or something like that. And he won a ton of those, and he's just good at what he did. But did you realize, Jamie, that Frankie never owned a horse in all that time?
What? A horse person not owning a horse? Well, that is more woman-like anyway, to own a horse all the time. So I guess I can believe it, but it is shocking.
It is shocking. Well, we have Frankie on the line here. Hi, Frankie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing, Jamie? How
are
you guys?
All right, good. So I thank you for, by the way, coming on the show with us this morning and letting me tell your dirty secrets. Frankie. Frankie at dinner that night, we had so much fun. Jackie Baker was there from Regarding Horses. We had a blast, and then Frankie absolutely just lit up. This big, tough jockey absolutely just lit up when he was talking about his new four-legged beast. Jamie, ask him about his new horse.
Tell me.
Well, he's a big, strapping Shetland pony that resides in my backyard. His name.
No way.
Ask his name.
And what's his name?
Well, it sounds quite ferocious, but he's not. You can't be intimidated by it, but his name's Popcorn.
Popcorn the Shetland pony, this big tough jockey who has won and ridden in thousands of races, has a Shetland pony named Popcorn. That is classic, my friend.
And he is cute as a dickens, too. I have pictures. I'll post them in our show notes, and I'll post them on Facebook then. Frankie, you sent me those pictures. That pony is cute as a dickens.
He's cute, and everybody makes fun of me because I see him as being skinny, and everyone else does not see him as being skinny. So but he's
you're
mine.
You're that guy. You're the guy. You're the horse owner who thinks their horse is starving to death and they're like 2 days away from founder. Is that true?
That's what Sandy accuses me of. She goes, you're going to founder that pony. You're going to founder that pony. And I said, I'm not feeding them that much. I'm just feeding them.
Yeah, I relate, Frankie. I'm with you. We decided that evening, you know, how everybody talks about natural horsemanship and stuff. Frankie and I, we're into unnatural horsemanship. Just feed them.
Yes, we definitely need to brand that. But I think that's perfect for us.
We're going
to
start our own movement. It is
but, yeah.
Did you just say that you're starting a movement for unnatural horsemanship? I'm sorry. I was a little
confused. Don't you think there's a nice
that.
Hook? There's a nice hook there.
Yeah, that's
I think
right.
A lot of people can relate to that.
The horse husband way.
Yeah.
You're going to make a million on that. Brand that, sell that,
books,
unnatural
videos.
Horsemanship for horse husbands.
We're
going
to do clinics. We're going to do clinics.
Yeah,
and you know how you're like, we're going to have a real carrot on a stick, and we're going to be in a pen, and things like that, and candy apples and treats and peppermints. We're going to wear a jacket made out of peppermints. So.
I was going to say, the clinic is how to unwrap the peppermint and feed it to your horse without getting bit. As the horse husband, I think it's brilliant. That's brilliant.
I see it. We ought to go on the road, Frankie. We could make a fortune doing this at clinics.
I'm telling you, I love it. But in all seriousness, Jamie, yes, I mean, I've ridden thousands. I was trying to count. I think I've ridden about 40,000 horses in my life. And being racehorses, and I did nothing but my whole life was working. So I never had the opportunity or privilege to own my own horse, ever. I was always riding someone else's horses and never had time for my own or a place. So, and then my career started, and as a jockey, I mean, it doesn't really fit in the schedule. You ride all day long, and afterwards, there's just no time and energy or where the racetracks are. There's really no place to keep a horse, so it's very rare that a jockey would have their own horse. So it kind of explains that.
I understand the last thing you want to do when you go home after riding horses is ride a horse. I certainly understand that.
Exactly. And the idea of a pony, I mean, you know, why would I want a pony? I've actually written a nice article, and I should share that link with you guys. Maybe I'll post it on your Facebook page. I wrote an article explaining why this all fit into my life now. And what actually means something to me that, you know, I always wanted a pony. I tell you, those words have come out of my mouth my entire life, and especially since I was a little kid. So, I got my pony, finally. and we are comedy routine. It is, it's hilarious.
I got to tell you too, Frankie, when I looked at the pictures, the pony makes you look tall.
Well, there you go.
Now, Frankie, the question is, first, I have two questions. First one is, are you riding Popcorn?
No. He's actually just a baby. He turns two this month, in real years. he's just turning two. Though he's so good. Sandy and I, we played around, threw a saddle on him last fall, and all he worries about is food. He really could care less. If he could eat the saddle, you could put it on him. It wouldn't matter. He didn't mind it at all.
I don't know where you got that from.
That leads me to my next question, Frankie, is your wife has just posted on our Facebook page and would like for me to ask you about your Popcorn's feeding schedule. What are you doing?
Well, I get up in the morning and I look out the window and see what he's doing. He's usually his head over the fence staring at the door where I come out every morning, and he'll just stare and stare, and the guilt just pours out of me. And I've got to get out there and feed him. He's wasting away to nothing. He's starving to death. He's also bending the fence in the fence post that I made for him. I mean, he's got it so out of whack. It kind of looks like a junkyard now. It looked really nice when I put this fence up, but he's bent it around the poles and the posts and the the wire that it looks – I've got to redo it all. But he'll try to reach and get that grass, and he'll do anything to get just a bite of grass on the other side of the fence. So,
poor baby.
I know, he's starving to death. So I look out the door, and then that's when the guilt – I got to get my boots on and get out there and get him some hay. So that's usually about 8 in the morning. And then you would think that he was never fed by the time 10 in the morning comes around.
I am
so bad that I try to hide. Like, I'll try to go out, sneak out the door so he doesn't see me. If he sees me, he just goes crazy. He wants food, and starts hollering and goes, oh, brother. So I either get mad at him and tell him, no, absolutely not, or I have to hide. I tiptoe around the shop to get into the – my shop is in the back as well. So I have to tiptoe or try to sneak my way around so he doesn't see me, so the guilt doesn't pop back in. And then usually I make him wait till about 1 o'clock or so to throw him some more hay. Or we actually – our backyard's not enormous. It's we're in about an acre and a half here. But we have a nice backyard. We stake him kind of like a puppy dog. He has a stake and on a long leash, and he makes crop circles in the backyard. And I move the stake around. He gets so excited when I move the stake. He gets so excited. So that's pretty comical. And then there's dinner time where he gets his little pellets. And I usually try to put some little treat in there. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then he gets dinner.
To that pony, you look like a giant carrot walking around, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, and it's tough on me because he's starving. He needs to eat.
Well, you got
he's
to
a growing
admit,
boy.
Though, you know, and Frankie, you have to say, you've probably never been happier than owning this pony now.
Oh, it's a great time. It's a great time. It's
and,
comical.
You know,
even though he's communicating with aliens building crop circles in your backyard.
And then when Sandy goes out the door, he'll, like, bellow, like, holler, and then he sees it's her, and he goes, never mind. I'm not getting nothing. But he knows he's not getting nothing from Sandy. But when it's me, he's just, I'm a sucker. I know. But
Frankie, I can't tell you how much it kills me to go out because our poor quarter horse has to wear a muzzle because he's a fatty fat cell. And he really could be Fatty McButter Pants, like we talked about earlier. But so he wears a muzzle all the time because we have such green grass here in Lexington. You know how that is. And it just kills me. So, of course, every time I go out and visit him, I have to hand walk him for like 10 hours, you know. Because I figure if hand walking him is not the same as him doing it himself. See, that's my theory.
Right.
So the grass he eats when he's hand walking is nothing like the grass he eats when he's doing it himself. That grass could get him in trouble. My grass doesn't get him in trouble.
Oh, Lord.
It's a controlled environment.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm controlling it.
Unnatural.
As he drags Glenn, as he drags Glenn around to find the best, freshest, newest grass, of course. Yeah, unnatural horsemanship. Make it a T-shirt. You'll sell a million.
We're on to something, I'm telling you.
Well, this is fun. Thank you so much. And Aubrey just posted she's a regular listener to our show. She says, I have a Shetland cross named Pop-Tart. Maybe they're related.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah,
Pop-Tart
and popcorn, and get them together. I will definitely post pictures for everybody on our Facebook page and also on our show notes for today's show of Frankie and popcorn because that's so darn cute. Frankie, do you still, you know, you were a jockey forever. Do you still get excited this time of year coming up to the Derby, or don't you follow it so much?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle. Of course I get excited about it. It's hard for me to, with our Equisizer business, get as involved as I want to, like as far as reading the news releases and who's winning what for all these prep races that are coming up. And there's a bunch of them around the country. But as it gets closer, the excitement builds and some of the top contenders start to surface. So with that, I start paying a lot more attention and with who the riders, the trainers, and the horses are. And I'm in the middle there. I'm not as excited in March as I am as it comes this time of year in April when some of these major preps that the cream starts rising to the top and we see who the real contenders are. So yes, I am getting excited.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I know we are too. We're Jamie's a racing nut, so I know she's getting excited.
Who's your pick?
No, I don't have a pick yet.
Oh, he doesn't want to chase anybody.
I don't have one. I tell you, give me a week, and I'll have one.
Okay, we're going to give you a week.
Okay.
That's
have one.
Okay.
Book
it. It's up in the air.
Hey, Frankie, before we let you go, which equisizer was I riding over at Equina Fair?
You were on Bob.
Okay. I wanted to say thank you for letting me ride Bob and having the chance to refine my half-halt aids, because I never realized Bob knew how to do half-halts as well as he does. Much better
Oh, yeah.
Than Beaker does. And I was able to practice appropriate and correct aids riding Bob, and I wanted to say thanks.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. It was a lot of fun having you and Glenn in the booth, and Glenn was on Althea, and you guys got to go on a trail ride and didn't go anywhere. You were right there in the booth.
Yeah, it was very safe. I didn't get bucked off or anything.
Nice.
And, of course, we're talking about the equisizers that Frankie makes, which we've talked about here in the show before. And Frankie, I got to tell you, and Jennifer is mad at you for something, by the way. And I think Janie's a little mad, too, because ever since I got back from Equine Affair, my head hasn't fit in the door because I got the sign that equisizers are like the celebrities.
Oh, yeah, you got the sign Mocha. Mocha.
Tell everybody else who else has signed Mocha.
Well, I may forget some names, so if anybody's listening,
just
I forgot. Please forgive
one.
Me. Well, Mocha, this was his fifth Equine Affair. He's actually, we're so attached to Mocha, he's like a family member. But he's the equisizer that we've been taking to most of our events that we attend. And we've had Monty Roberts autograph Mocha, Stacy Westfall, Templeton Thompson, Tommy Garland, Richard Winters, Jane Savoy just recently, she signed him as well. Betsy Steiner, all these top riders of all different disciplines that we've gone to these events, and they've jumped on Mocha and said, "Wow, this is cool," and they support us and given us blessed us with their autographs on Mocha. So he's quite popular.
Frankie, the answer to that email that you sent me is that Glenn's signature should come off with a little fingernail polish. Don't worry, we won't let him ruin. Mocha.
It was a
little
dry
bit of fingernail polish. Yeah. Oh,
I
okay,
knew there
good.
Was something
were,
wrong with that
picture.
we do that all the time. We have a little cloth we wipe off. Just kidding,
right.
Glenn.
Brilliant.
Just
kidding.
Yeah. That's the most valuable signature on that horse.
That's right.
Dream on.
So Mocha's a very, very special equipment.
Hey, I'm the co-founder of Unnatural Horsemanship.
That's right. We're a partnership. We are a partnership.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frankie. We appreciate
great.
You taking time out to talk to us this morning.
You're welcome, Glenn. And you know what? If you don't mind, I'll post that article I had written about why
do
I got
it.
A pony.
Yeah, no, do it. No, definitely.
I'll do that on the
that.
Facebook page. I'll put
and
that on the Facebook page.
Do me a favor.
Page.
You know, it's 10 o'clock. Go out and feed popcorn.
Yeah. I'll give him something.
Okay.
So Sammy won't yell at me. I'll try not to give him too much.
Bye, Frank.
Thanks, guys. Sugar Thanks for having me on. Have a great
You're
day.
You're welcome. Thank you. Sugar-free peppermints. Just remember that you can buy them in the diabetic section at your grocery store, and they are great treats for fat horses. I'm telling
now,
you,
you,
they
think?
Love
I
them.
I think that Popcorn, Frankie, and I, and Beaker should go on the road as a comedy, sort of a comedy skit for Equine Affairs and stuff. What do you think?
Well, if you throw in the MIG, Richard Migliori, our HRTV reporter, with his new Tennessee walking horse, what is up with these tough jockeys, like, getting other breeds? I think it's adorable. I cannot believe Frankie has a Shetland pony. And there's, like, saddle breaks.
Wait till you see the picture of it. I'll try and get that during the song here. I'll try and get a picture of it together so we can actually show you a picture of Popcorn and Frankie. It's so cute. And I'm so glad that Frankie was free this morning to fill in there because I've been dying to tell you about popcorn. I thought you'd appreciate that. All right. I will. Oh, by the way, the other part of Aubrey Miller's, she says, hi, I have a Shetland cross named Pop-Tart. Maybe they're related. A friend's horse's sire's name was No Fat Chicks. Thought that was a hoot, but not PC.
No
not PC.
Fat Chicks?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is... that's great. That's fantastic.
All right, so let's have a little song today. We have Trish Lynn coming up. And if I can find it here on the list. We have Trish Lynn coming up, and she's a little stop till you drop. I was feeling like a little rock and roll today. And then we're going to have our report from Europe from Horse and Country TV.
What you got, boy? He's got a devil of a bull and his eyes all red. Got his leathers and stuff tight as it'll get. He ain't found nothing that'll throw him yet. Feels a little better when he's out on the edge. Like a Tarantino movie rolling through his head. He ain't gonna sleep again until he's dead. He's gonna fly. Keep the crowd screaming everywhere that I go. Everybody's rocking when they see me rodeo. Well, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I've come a long, long way with a fat attitude. I want to hold through my soul up my cowgirl riding boots. I'm gonna die.
That was a typo. I was thinking it should be shop till you drop because we got Rolex in 9 days. Yay! You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. In today's show, thank you for bringing it to you, is Pfizer Animal Health.
You can check him out at PfizerAH.com. So, yeah, 9 more days. I can't wait. And, by the way, that is the stinking – you didn't tell me that not only is it a little Shetland pony, it's a little baby Shetland pony. Oh, my gosh, that's the cutest picture ever.
Go to Facebook right now, to the Horses in the Morning page. I posted a couple of pictures of Frankie and Popcorn. So you have to see – isn't it cute?
It's so cute. It's a little pony, but it's a little baby pony, and it's so cute, and it's Palomino. It's like a little mini Barbie horse. I love it. And I cannot believe that that belongs to a former jockey that has ridden 40,000 horses.
And can you tell in his voice how much he loves that pony? He loves that pony.
Oh, I love it.
And, you know, so you cute. Thought I was being smart and being mean when I said the pony makes him look tall. It does.
Yeah, he is a former jockey, so we got to just give him that. Most horses are going to make him look – most ponies are going to make him look tall.
Just like Jennifer gets mad at me for overfeeding Beaker, Sandy, his wife, gets so mad at him for overfeeding that pony. Now, does that pony look fat in the pictures to you? That looks fat in front of me. It looks like it needs more food.
But you have to understand, Glenn, horse husband, that you all these ponies need to get fat is air. I mean, just breathe, and they get fat quick. So, no, he does not need any more food. He's actually at a very good weight right now. Sandy, I'm very proud of you for keeping your husband in check because, yeah, he actually looks really good right now. So shut up, Glenn.
I have to say, I was dying to have Frankie on because when we were at dinner that night, it was so cute listening to him talk about his pony. And I know how he feels because I've owned ponies. Owning a pony is different than owning a horse. And I know people say, oh, no. People say, for some reason, owning a pony is just different. I know people don't believe me, but it's true.
I'm reading all these awesome bad names that are on our Facebook page people have posted. And believe it or not, Leslie said she called her Percheron Fatty McButterpants as well.
No,
so,
really?
Yeah, she said she called her Percheron Jet. Fatty McButterpants is a nickname. So there are more than one Fatty McButterpants out there.
Wow.
But when we were looking, when I've been looking through all the Craigslist stuff, trying to find really bad ads of our Friday segment that we like to do, I have come across a couple really bad names. And I know that you had one called Old Buckethead that you found on Craigslist.
Right. Yep.
And the favorite one of my husband and I is they were selling a horse named Baby Dry Noodles. Baby Dry Noodles. Baby Dry Noodles. Why would you name your horse Baby Dry Noodles? I don't understand. What do you call it? Baby Dry Noodles. And now entering the ring, Baby Dry Noodles. Say that again. It's just funny. It's so funny now because Chad, anytime he's like, oh, is that Baby Dry Noodles? Any horse is Baby Dry Noodles now. So I found another one that was named Freckled Butter. And I wanted to point out the lineage because Freckled Butter is out of a mare named Rascal Ranger Rick and Skips Nutter Butter. So Skips Nutter Butter and Rascal Ranger Rick produce Freckled Butter. God, I love quarter horse names. It's so great.
There was one I saw the other day, Popsicle Toes.
What?
Yes, Popsicle Toes.
Nice.
I don't even know what that means. But
the horse that I rode growing up, now this horse was an angel. I loved this horse. If I could have bought this horse and my parents would have let me have this horse, I would have him. Probably I would be one of those crazy people that would have him stuffed in the living room. I loved this horse so much. And his name was Eminon. And I thought it was a really pretty name, Eminon. If you spell Eminon backwards, see if you can do it. It's E-M-A-N-O-N.
Say that again? Eminon?
Eminon backwards spells no name.
Okay.
And I rode that horse for years and never knew that was actually what the horse meant, was no name backwards with Eminon. And that's the horse that I rode for years and years and years. I think he was about 35 when I started riding him, by the way, because I was like
sure. I don't know. But Eminon, oh, I loved him so. I loved him dearly. He was just great. But yeah, about 35 years old when I started riding him. But you have to have those. You know, you have to have those kind of horses in your life. That and Baby Dry Noodles and Popsicle Toes.
I'm actually on the Chronicle forums. There's a thread for the funniest horse names you've ever heard. Are you want a couple of them? Here's one. Buck Naked. And I remember a Bear Naked, too. See, those would be the fairly common. How about Attention Shoppers?
Attention Shoppers?
Yes. Entering the ring, Attention Shoppers. Like a Virgin. I imagine that was probably pretty popular in her time when she was really popular. That probably was popular. Hay Rack. Famous Spugly.
Oh, you know, I find it embarrassing for these poor horses. Like, they should have, if they're wonderful, graceful animals, they should have, like, really beautiful names. And I found out that my thoroughbred fighter jet that we named Fighter Jet, his name was actually, when he was registered, his name was Bumpety. Bumpety. Who names the horse Bumpety? I mean, his father's name is Lily T, but you couldn't come up with anything cooler than Bumpety. Like, he's some little redneck bumping down the road, Bumpety. So we changed that. I can't have a horse named Bumpety. I don't even know what that means. But Susan Nelson just posted on Facebook, and Susan, I have to totally agree with you, that the photo of Frankie and Popcorn puts Frankie in the running for the Hottest Horseman Awards. He's been nominated,
wow.
And it's April. That's awesome. April 19th, Frankie Lovato nominated for Hottest Horseman Awards. There you go. I love it. He's in.
Way to go, Frankie. Unnatural horsemanship.
Well, I believe our first guest is our first guest. Yeah, the second guest, really, because our first guest wasn't able to make it. I hope his horse is okay, by the way. But our second guest for today is Katie Gilmore doing our Horse and Country TV European report. And I know that there's a lot of stuff going on. Badminton in one day. And we'll talk about badminton a little bit. But let's say hello to Katie. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you both?
Well, it might not be morning where you are. What time is it where you are? Because it's 7 o'clock my time. It's 10 o'clock Glenn's time.
It's just gone 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm just sitting in absolute glorious sunshine. The UK is a very nice place to be at the moment.
Oh, man. So are we going to have some good weather for badminton then?
Well, the forecast is amazing. It's saying that it's going to be 22 degrees, sunny, blue skies. So fantastic for spectators. Maybe a bit hard on the riders because we've had so little rain this month that the ground may be quite hard. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I'm sure the guys at badminton will be working hard on the course and watering it and doing all sorts.
Yeah, they'll ship in water, I'm sure, for that event. So there'll be water trucks out there soaking down the ground. They'll be aerating it. Oh, it'll be nice. But you said it was 22 degrees. What exactly is 22 degrees to us? I forget. Chad, what is 22 degrees Celsius? 75 degrees. Oh, that's perfect.
Isn't that lovely? I mean, for April in the UK, I can't tell you how unusual this weather is. It's just lovely. It's great weather for people to be out hacking and enjoying the countryside.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Well, what are you going to talk to us today about? There's one segment on your show, channel, that I cannot wait to see, the video of the week. And we will talk about the video of the week last because this is so cool, and I cannot wait to watch it. But before we get to the video of the week, talk to us a little bit about the top hat, safety hat.
That's right. Well, it's internationally there's been a lot of debate about safety when riding, particularly in competitions. And certainly around Europe, riders have been criticized for riding without a hat. And in the wake of Courtney Dye King's accident, where she unfortunately suffered terrible head injuries from a fall from a horse, the campaign has stepped up, and Liva, who make top hats, have launched a safety hat, which hopefully will sort of quell the style versus safety debate. It's a top hat, so it can be used in Grand Prix competitions in dressage, and an eventing. And it looks like a standard top hat. The only difference that you'd see is that riders actually have a chin strap. But inside the top hat, there is a crash helmet. So, you know, pretty good if you're riding a hot horse at a high level. Means you can be safe and stylish. So it'll be interesting to see how many riders take that up.
Yeah. Oh, it does. I'm looking at your link here, and it does look exactly like a top hat. But you're right, the chin strap definitely adds a little bit to it. And it looks like I was thinking with the top hat and that brim that's pretty immovable, it looks like this one's a little bit plushier so that the brim around the top hat would move if you were to fall and would just give way.
I think so. Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, it's met all of the safety standards. The one that we tend to work to in the UK is EN1384, and it's met those safety standards, so it will have been very rigorously tested.
You know,
yeah,
Katie,
I think y'all's safety standard is actually tougher. Sorry, go
ahead,
Glenn.
Katie, well, yeah, one of the things that happened years ago when we had our store is they came out with a cowboy hat with a helmet inside of it, sort of similar to this idea, but the problem was the cowboy hat was huge. It looked like you were wearing a cartoon hat from the cartoon. You were a cartoon character. So is that the same way here? Does the top hat look huge?
It doesn't look too bad. I think technology's changed, hasn't it, in hats over the last couple of years. And some of the lightweight, thin hats you can get now are amazing. And certainly if you're riding in a hot country, you need the protection, but you also need to be cool. Otherwise, you're just going to pass out from heat exhaustion, from being so hot in your hat.
Yeah.
So it looks like they've used the most, I guess, streamlined technology to make sure that, A, it doesn't look like a comedy hat, as you say, but also to make sure that riders can be cool and comfortable when they wear it. I mean, really, even if it's slightly bigger than the normal top hats, you've got to think, you know, what price is your head, really? You know, the accident that Courtney Dye King had was horrendous. And if there's a way of making it safer and those accidents either not happening or being less severe, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and if they're not looking like Yosemite Sam out there riding dressage, then I guess we're okay.
Exactly.
Yep. Good. So, great.
And what else did you have for us? You wanted to update us on a couple different things. I believe the blog of the week is next.
That's right. Well, we have a whole stable of bloggers that write for us at horseandcountry.tv. There's two that have come in the last week. Ordinarily, I talk about one, but these two are kind of related. The breeding and foaling season is very well underway. We're getting loads of pitter-patter of tiny hooves on the ground now. And one of our bloggers is a dressage rider and breeder called Angela Crane, who runs Holden Fold Stud in the north of England. And she actually sent us a video of one of her mares, Alifra HFD, actually giving birth. Now, it's not something you might want to watch while you're eating your breakfast, but it's an amazing thing to watch to see how calm the mare is all the way through it and how quick the labor is. You know, suddenly there's this foal on the ground. So if any of the listeners go and have a look at horseandcountry.tv/blogs, they'll be able to find Angela's blog and have a look at that. Likewise, we actually have a blogger who's based in the U.S. It's a lady called Anne Egan. She's based in Connecticut, and she runs North Point Farm. She breeds and trains and shows Percheron horses. And she has bought a fantastic new stallion called Wincredible. And the pictures of him, this horse is stunning, but he's enormous. He's over 18 hands. And when she bought him, she was told that he could only live cover mares, and she's sent us a video of how she taught him to ground collect. So again, maybe not one for while you're eating your breakfast, but
I'll just run right out and watch that one.
That's fascinating. That is fascinating, because having worked at a breeding place that did live collection, holy cow, that's dangerous enough with a 15-hand paint horse, much less an 18-plus-hand Percheron. Oh,
yeah.
My God, they would kill you because they get crazy. So good for her. I actually might have to actually watch that one and just email it to my former boss and be like, listen, this is the way to do it, okay?
Well,
stop trying to get all your techs killed.
This stallion is impeccably behaved. He is so quiet and so polite to his handlers. he's standing next to a mare who's in her stable as a teasing mare. And he is so quiet and so calm. I don't think I've ever seen a stallion behave that well. It really is quite incredible. So whatever she's doing, I'm very glad that she's sharing her tips with Horse and Country website visitors, because what she's doing is clearly right, because it's a lovely, calm, happy horse.
We will we'll definitely be posting links to these on our show notes for today. If you go, Jamie, to that link and you look at the picture of that Percheron, oh, my God.
Isn't he cute?
That is a neck for you. Holy cow. That is one big stallion.
He's a handsome boy, isn't he?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to have to go check it out now. But it's like, is it safe for work, this website, or no?
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. I mean, it's safe for work. I mean, it's horses. It's not people. but, yeah, it's definitely safe for work. Have a look at it. The videos are... The other thing as well is the videos are lower down on the page. So, you know, you can scroll up and down to see them. So if someone wants to come and look over your shoulder, you just shoot your browser straight up and they won't know what you're looking at.
How to watch equine collection at work. that's
exactly.
Fantastic.
So many jokes in a little time.
It's like joke overload that she's actually teaching us how to hide it at work. that's great.
Well, we ain't clean.
How to hide horse collection at work.
Well,
all right. And I guess you also have a lot of coverage. I'm just going to skip past that one. Yeah, I'm going to move on. You also have a lot of coverage about badminton. And I know we've talked about the iPhone app that badminton has put out. But what are you guys offering as far as – there's been a lot of questions with my friends on how we can stay on top of badminton and kind of know constantly what's going on. Are you guys doing updates or highlights, or what is your coverage going to be like for badminton on your website?
We are online. I've literally just been packing my bags for badminton. We leave on Thursday morning, and we're going to be running a full Twitter commentary. So you'll be able to keep up to date with the action, literally up to the second. We'll be tweeting the action. We're going to be doing tweet picks as well so that you can see things as they happen. I can't promise to be able to capture someone falling into the water jump, but I'll do my best. so we'll be tweeting away. We're also going to be doing exclusive interviews with riders while we're there, and you'll be able to find everything you need to know at horseandcountry.tv/badminton2011. You'll be able to follow us on Twitter from there, and you'll be able to see all the interviews as they happen. So all very quick.
Okay.
And on TV, in the UK, we're going to be showing highlights from last year's competition this weekend. And then next weekend, from the 30th of April in the UK on Sky 280, we're showing an hour's dressage highlights, 5 hours of cross country and 30 minutes of show jumping. But the good news is, we're also sending it over to HRTV. So HRTV viewers will be able to watch Badminton 2011 in June. And there will be, again, the whole 5 hours of cross-country coverage, a cross-country course walk with one of our Olympic riders, Sharon Hunt, plus the dressage and the show jumping. So I don't know if this is the first time badminton's been shown in the US, but I would imagine it's probably one of the first times you guys will have got this much coverage.
That's
without
terrific.
A doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And for those of us who don't get HRTV, I believe you can subscribe to HRTVLive.com if you don't have it. And I recommend it because it's not just racing coverage anymore. HRTV has opened up their doors and they're showing badminton. They're going to have coverage of all different kinds of horse things. But how can people, I know that maybe you're not the person to answer this question, but I believe that we can call our cable company and request it, and if everybody does that, maybe it'll be shown more.
That's how it works here with some of the cable platforms. You can campaign to them for them to include it. But as you say, HRTV isn't just horse racing anymore. They really have broadened out their offering. And that's their aim. They want to get as much good horse programming on TV as they can. So, you know, I think support them. It's fantastic news that Horse and Country has been able to work with HRTV. And we have a 2-hour time slot every day, which premieres on a Monday night. So it's worth looking at their website and checking out the schedule page, because if you do have it, you'll be able to see 2 hours worth of our programs on there as well.
And as we know, all the good programs come out of England, whether it's regular TV or horse TV. All the good programs come out of England. We always steal your ideas and like American Idol and all those. They were all English shows first.
They were first indeed. But I think, you know, so it depends. I mean, we get some pretty good American shows. We get shows from all over the place that we show. But yeah, a lot of the UK stuff is good, and there's a lot of event coverage that will come to the channel, which I think is interesting because, you know, you guys aren't going to get on a plane and just come to badminton. So at least you're going to get to see it.
Someday.
We'd like
I will.
To get on a plane.
I will someday. Yeah. So tell us real quick, this is a really cool, and I think that, you know, every horsewoman has a little bit of a photographer in her. We all want the picture, perfect picture of our pretty horses. So tell us about your video of the week.
Yes, I will. Our video of the week this week is how to photograph your horse. Now, I have horses, and the reason we came up with this was how hard is it to get a decent picture of your horse? It's impossible.
It's amazing. It's impossible. Then you've got them and you take the picture from the kind of front, and then they look like they have a giant head. And then you sit sideways, and then they look short. And then you're standing a little bit too behind them, their butt looks huge. And they can't get their ears forward. They look messy. Tell me how to do this. I love it.
Exactly. Well, I've always had that problem with my horses. And the other thing that's hard to get across is your horse's character. Because, you know, you show someone a picture of your horse, and they think, oh, great, it's a bay horse or it's a chestnut horse. They don't. They find it difficult to see your horse's character with what you've captured.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with a photographer called Amanda Lockhart, who has had several very successful books published of equine photography. And we made a video. It's only a short video of about 10 minutes long. And in it, she shows you how to capture character shots, first of all. So, you know, to capture your horse's expression. And then we did some dynamic shots of the horses moving. So, you know, she kind of shows you how you capture those moments, what aperture to use in your camera, what kind of light conditions you should look for. And just as an aside, the horse that's featured in that video is mine. So I'm very proud of her for being a video star.
Oh, cool. That's great. That is great.
So you can see that video at horseandcountry.tv. If you go to video, you'll see a picture promoting the video on that page.
And it's your horse. Oh, Katie, you must be so proud.
Yeah, I am proud.
Well, I know that I'm going to work on that because I got a big fancy camera recently that I have no idea how to work. and even just point and shoot, you can never get, you know, that great one. So a Horse and Country TV, and then you can see it on there, but it's how to photograph your horse with photographer Amanda Lockhart. Doing ridden and character shots. I'm very excited to check it out. And I know a friend of mine who's also trying to become an equine photographer will find that equally as interesting. So thank you so much for coming on and giving us our Horse and Country TV European report. And thanks, Katie Gilmore, for coming.
Thank you very much.
Hey, and have fun at badminton.
Oh,
thanks very much. I'll tell you all about it next week.
Do you have an entire pocket full of money to go shopping?
Oh, I'm really trying to resist it, but because we'll get there earlier than everyone else, I think we probably will have to go and indulge in a little bit of shopping.
You know what Jamie did? She had the solution. She went to the casino, won a bunch of money, and that's what she's bringing.
Yeah, good idea.
Actually, Glenn, that idea has been nixed by the husband. I have been turned down in taking the casino winnings. He apparently wants to take some vacation with it or whatever with me. I do think that the Rolex Trade Fair is a great place to vacate. it's been like for money. But I have been nixed, so alas, I will have to find another way.
All right, thank you,
well,
Katie.
You guys,
I appreciate it. Have a great time this week.
Thanks very much.
Well, we appreciate her calling in every week on Tuesdays with the European Report. You know, I would love, someday I really do want to go to badminton. That's definitely on Jennifer and I's bucket list.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the whole, how cool is that you've got a television channel that plays
5 hours of cross country, even just an hour of dressage, 5 hours of cross country, and then all the show jumping coverage. UK is where it's at as far as equine sports. I mean, they definitely, the country supports it. They know what it is, first of all. I mean, I tell horse people I'm an eventer, and they're like, do what? You do
what?
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm like, definitely an exciting thing, and I cannot wait to go watch how to take pictures of my horses. And here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that today. I'm going to take pictures of my horse after I watch this, and I will post them tomorrow.
Well, I want to tell you, too, that over on Horse Tip Daily, I have some very famous photographers that have stopped by to give tips on horse photography. And we've done probably 10 or 12 tips on photography at horse with horses. So you can find some tips over at Horse Tip Daily, too, for that. I have something that will make you really sick here, Jamie.
Okay.
Samantha, my old co-host on 2010 radio show, she's flying over to see badminton on Thursday and then flying back just in time for Rolex. Now, what of 2 weeks that would be?
That's not fair.
There's a 2 weeks
for
you.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, that's not bad. Samantha, we're all jealous. We don't like you anymore.
Yeah, I was pretty jealous when I heard that, too. Yep.
That's great. I'm sure it's some work-related thing. She's really busy.
She'll be reporting on it on Eventing Nation. She'll be writing her reports on Eventing Nation. So you'll find them, you know, you'll find all of her coverage over there. And I'm sure Eventing Nation will be doing a lot of coverage of badminton as well. So we'll give them a little bit of a plug. Also, I just got an email from Pippa Room, who's a friend of ours, who works for Horse and Hound over in England. She said, I just want to let you know that Horse and Hound is running our popular Horse and Hound Live written commentary. They do kind of a live blogging across all 4 days of badminton this year in association with Spiller's Horse Feeds, who we've had on the show here. In case you're not able to let members on any of your radio shows know about it, or in case you are able to let them know. So we're letting you know that Horse and Hound is also going to be providing live blogging, which is kind of cool. We did that 1 year at Rolex here at the Horse Radio Network as well. So you can look for that. Our friend Pippa will be doing that. And we're going to try and get Pippa to join us. I hope one of them's coming over for Rolex. And we're going to try and get somebody from Horse and Hound on with us on our coverage in the mornings at Rolex, too. So we'll try and get that arranged.
Oh, that'd be great. I just am laughing at the comments on Facebook. Frankie has officially been nominated now for Best Couple in the 2011 Hottest Horseman Awards with his pony Popcorn. and Glenn, will you stop telling him he needs to feed that pony? Do not feed that pony anymore, Frankie. He looks good
skinny.
Now.
He's skinny. Look how skinny that pony is.
Oh, yeah, he's just wasting away. Let him catch about 4 more breaths of oxygen, and he'll put on 50 pounds. That's the way ponies work.
Hey, we had a couple more interesting names, and then we'll wrap up the show. How about Bob's Bushwhacker? That'd be fun to say as they're entering the ring. Bob's Bushwhacker, written by Bob. And then Dawn wrote, when I was in high school, I trained a Shetland Cross. At shows, we made the announcer call out his name. Lego my ego fugo. Lego my
fuego.
Ego fugo. Fuego.
Fuego.
So, fuego. So it's Lego my ego fuego. Oh, God.
That means Lego my ego fire.
And they just called
that's
him
great.
Fuego. So Lego my ego fuego. Oh, jeez. I would have screwed that one up for
Lord.
Sure.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's call it a day. If you want to listen to all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, you can listen to them at horseradionetwork.com. We're recording the Tack and Habit show in a couple of minutes here, and we have some very exciting things happening over in Tack and Habit. We have finally won a little battle that we've been having over in Tack and Habit, and you can learn more about that on this week's show. And, of course, we talk about Facebook, Horses in the Morning page. You want to tell all your friends about that as well. And we are on Twitter at Horse Radio, and we will be tweeting. I will be tweeting from Rolex, too, when we're there. So you want to follow us on Horse Radio?
Yeah, I have a Twitter. I just read stuff. So I just read what you tweet. I don't actually tweet anything. And I feel sorry for the people that find me and try to follow me. I want to call them and be like, listen, you're going to be disappointed because I don't have anything to say that I think you would care enough about. So, you know, just follow Horse Radio. Don't look for me. I'm going to be no good. I have like 6 followers now, and I'm sure they're all very disappointed in my lack of tweeting. So I'm glad that you are the Twitter guy, and I do appreciate you keeping up with all the modern technology. It's enough for me to have a Facebook. If you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. And I'm really excited about tomorrow's show because we've got Patty Mucho Macho Man's owner coming on tomorrow as well. So it'll be a very fun day talking about him being, you know, there at Churchill Downs. He's ready. I wonder if he's been walking by Uncle Mo's stall going, you know, I'm going to beat you. Talking trash, Uncle Mo. We will find out tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, Glenn. Everybody. Have a great day. Wear your helmets, and we'll see you tomorrow.